Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you, so you can send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So today we're going to be reflecting on the peace and healing and transformation that comes when we simply sit at the feet of Jesus and let him love us in Eucharistic adoration. When we sit in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, a powerful but quiet encounter occurs. And I say, and it will change you forever. So our question for today's show is this. What would you say are the benefits and graces that you receive from Eucharistic adoration? And so we put that question out there. We got some beautiful responses. You know, I'm a convert, and so I didn't know about Eucharistic adoration when I crossed over into Catholic land. So I had a lot to learn. Yeah. But first, we want to certainly express our condolences to all the people in Central Texas, in Kerrville, and then in also in Hunt, Texas, for the people who have lost their lives and for those who are in the recovery rescue, all those missing people. Our hearts go out to you, our prayers, our thoughts. It has been a heartbreaking to watch and to see all the people, for all the responders. I mean, you just watch it and your heart grieves and breaks. Our Holy Father, Pope Leo, has expressed condolences from Rome. Father Mark also. And so we here at the network, we're praying for you. Know that you're not alone. And we're just praying for comfort and peace in the midst of this God-awful time where you all find yourself so heartbroken.
And may all of us that are doing Eucharistic adoration remember, as we gaze upon the visible Lord once again, that we would bring these people from Central Texas and all that's going on, those who have lost loved ones, those who are missing, before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Question of the day, what would you say are the benefits and graces you receive from the Eucharistic adoration? We want you to call us, 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. What are the graces? What are the benefits? Maybe you want to share your journey coming into Eucharistic adoration. Or maybe you're saying, like, I don't quite get what this is all about. You don't have to be Catholic to call us here. You could be Protestant, you know, and just inquire about what Eucharistic adoration is, and can non-Catholics participate in it? And the answer is yes. So a very important topic, subject, encounter with the sacramental, the living Christ in Eucharistic adoration. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the theme for today's show is, what would you say are the benefits and graces that you receive from Eucharistic adoration? Give us a jingle. We certainly would love to hear from you. 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, 205-271-2980. Well, so as you know, I am a convert. And this was back in the day when you had to, like, wait a while before you came into the church, not like OCIA, it's a little different now. But anyway, so I would go to Mass and I couldn't receive the Eucharist. And so I believed always in my heart that it was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord. So whatever. I did what the church said to do, take a pause, and I did. And then one day I went and got the blessing, got back and sat in the pew, and began to weep and weep and weep because I wanted Jesus. I wanted Jesus. So after Mass, I went to the priest and I pulled on his stoles. And I said, Father Noel, I said, Father Noel, I said, I have to have Jesus. I miss Jesus. I need Jesus. And so, and he just looked at me and he said, well, then why don't you do adoration, Joy? And I was like, adoration? I don't know what adoration is. What is it? Like, what is it? And he said, well, you just go into the chapel and you adore the Lord. You believe he's there in his presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Yes, yes. Then go and adore him. So I started that as a convert on that journey, and it was helpful, but it wasn't the Eucharist. It wasn't receiving him, right?
It was the Eucharist, but you weren't receiving
him. Right, but I wasn't receiving him in my body. It was a different way. It was a different way of his presence coming into me and radiating me as it did and still does, and it's so beautiful and transforms you and changes you. Yeah. So that's how I started my journey of adoration. Yeah. So you could be Protestant, you could be on the journey going into the church to go, because I have some Protestant friends who, believe it or not, go to the Adoration Chapel here in town.
And some of them have become Catholic.
And some of them have become Catholic.
Joe, we got the Tantum Ergo, famous prayer. Thomas Aquinas, I believe, wrote that, or a song. It's an adoration prayer. Here are the words. Let us therefore bow and worship such a wondrous sacrament. Let the ancient law and custom to a newer rite now yield. Let our faith supply conviction where the senses tire and fail. To the Father unbegotten and the sole begotten Son be salvation, blessing, honor, jubilation, power, and praise. To the one from both proceeding equal glory and renown. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who in this wonderful sacrament have left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
So to give us more insight on the graces of Eucharistic adoration, we have Deacon Chuck Kelly here with us on the phone. He is the manager here of Viewer Services. He's a deacon that serves at the altar here at EWTN. And I heard a wonderful sermon by Deacon. Mm-hmm. I think it was last week.
Last Thursday.
And the adoration was a part of that. I was so moved. I said, Deacon, would you just come on and share a few words with us? You can go to EWTN.com/Eucharist, EWTN.com/Eucharist, to learn more about how you can experience the Eucharist. Deacon Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. It's good to be with you.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. And so just for a few minutes, however you want to go, please help us to better understand our response to Jesus in the sacrament.
Yeah, great question. And as you mentioned at the top of the show there, Joy, that really does enhance our experience. And it's the proper response to Jesus Christ, to adore him. I referenced that last week, as you noted, that when St. Francis, when he was adoring our Lord in his passion and his crucifixion, he used to cry out, love is not loved. By attending adoration in the Most Blessed Sacrament, we're doing something both that's radical and rare. This is the work of Christians. And Mother Angelica, a poor Claire of Perpetual Adoration, she was really well known for this. She built that entire shrine dedicated to the adoration of the Most Blessed Sacrament. She reminded us that, simply believing in the existence of God is not merely enough. It's even the devil believes that God exists. But believing has to change the way that we live. And that time spent in adoration and adoring Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, it's the best time one can spend on earth. And she taught that every holy hour not only pleases the heart of Jesus, but it's recorded in heaven. So I thought that was very powerful.
Yes.
Powerful indeed. I love your opening words in that sermon you preached. The proper response to Jesus Christ is to adore him. And so we believe as Catholic people, and whether we believe it or not, this is what's happening, that Jesus Christ is being made visible again in that sacrament. And we are really before, this is true, before his divine presence. Is that accurate theologically?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's, it really is indeed the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ that we're adoring. And a lot of times, people will encourage silence. It really is less about what we're doing in adoration. It's really what he's doing, what he's done for us, and what he's doing in us. And there's a technique that's used. It's called ACTS. I don't know. It's kind of easy to remember the acronym ACTS. The A being adoration, just being silent and adoring our Lord. The C would be having contrition, for our sins. We tell our Lord that we're sorry for having offended him. The T, thanksgiving. We're thankful and make mention of those things that we're thankful for. And then supplication. And we can ask for those things that we need, just as you had indicated, again, at the top of the show, praying for those persons impacted by the flooding there in Texas. That would be a wonderful thing to bring to adoration.
Amen. Well, Deacon, when I heard your sermon, I asked if you would share it with me, and you did send it to me. And I want to share kind of your closing word in that. Again, you reiterate what you said at the top of your sermon. You say it again at the end. The proper response to Jesus is to adore him. Mm. If you're not yet attending adoration at the Most Blessed Sacrament, I encourage you to try and find some time this week to do so. And if you are unable to visit in person, we have a live adoration link on our EW10 at EW10.com. If you choose to spend time with Jesus in Eucharistic adoration, you will fill that desire in you that is yet to be filled. Why? Because it's real, because he's real, because he's right there in that sacrament. Deacon Kelly, thank you so much for your wisdom and your love for the Holy Eucharist and encouraging us who for a long time have been doing this, others who have not participated, to say, just come before the Lord and look at him, and he will gaze upon you and your life will be transformed. Thank you so much, Deacon.
It's my pleasure. God bless you.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank
you. Well, a great quote from Mother Angelica on Eucharistic adoration. There is no prayer so high. There's no ecstasy so sublime. There's no work so great. There's no suffering so severe that nothing to compare with that moment when I and the Trinity, Almighty God, through Jesus, your Son, and the power of your Spirit, are one. It is the greatest gift you could ever give us. And that's from Eucharistic Truth and Mother Angelica. And the most beautiful thing, when we go into adoration, you may go into adoration with a heavy heart. And you just need to sit there and be with Jesus. It's everything that your heart is longing for. The world is so noisy. Our minds are filled with noise. Our spirits are noisy. We don't know how to sit and be and just be at rest. To go into adoration, your breathing changes. Everything changes, but you got to go. You're not going to get it from any other source other than being in adoration. So for us, I do an adoration hour once a week. And then we have the luxury and the beauty of having a tabernacle at our center. So we go in there every day, and it changes who you are forever. And the situations around you might not change. You might still have trials and tribulations, but he changes you so that you then can cope and endure and go through what you have to go through.
We have a comment here, Joy. The graces I receive are by faith, love, and deep relationship for Jesus, my Savior, and most especially that peace that the world cannot give, that I can overcome and go through obstacles, temptations, and trials that come into my life. Ines from Facebook. Mm. And Joy, that kind of relates to what you were saying. Sometimes everything is still there. Everything still remains. Mm-hmm. But somehow you're going through it. Somehow knowing the Lord and his promises, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. And you're looking at I'll never leave you. You're looking at, I'll never forsake you. You're looking at, I'm with you always, even to the end. And we realize that, and the word that I continually seem to hear when I go to Eucharistic Adoration, at our center, our pro-life center, where women are coming and making decisions for life or death for their child, that the Lord seems to say to me, I'm impressed. He says, Jim, it's finished. It's done. And I get that sense when I'm before him, because he's not in time and space. I mean, he's beyond that. I'm not. But he's saying, it is finished. Like what he said from the cross, everything is done. Everything is consummated. And so I don't know the outcomes of what I'm praying about or what will happen into the future. I just know every single thing that has ever happened from, you know, the beginning of existence to my life to the future that in him is done. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that all works out.
But he's God.
And he's just saying, I got everything.
Yes.
Maybe it didn't turn out the way you want. It's done. It's finished. And I get such peace, even in our center, with all these struggles and warfare is going on to plead for the life of a child.
Yeah.
And well, to hear that is just great for me.
And for us at the center, I mean, we literally are having power encounters of light and darkness all day long. And then you go into adoration and God fortifies you and strengthens you. And I can remember doing adoration on my cancer journey. I still had cancer. I still had to go through chemo and do all those crazy things. But going in, he was radiating me with his presence. So then I came out, I had peace. I was able to endure to go through all the things that one has to go through. So I highly, highly recommend that you go to adoration. And you might say, I can't go into adoration for an hour. That is just like way too much time. Yeah. I don't have that kind of time. Well, then pop in however you can, even if it's for 10 minutes, 5 minutes. If you're driving home and passing your church and your church is open, go in and go and make yourself available and just go in, Jesus, and tell Jesus how much you love him.
Jesus is waiting for you. He's waiting for me to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Well, now we're going to go to Joan Lewis, who is in Rome, and she's going to give us a report on the latest news with Pope Leo. Joan?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. Greetings from Rome, whose residents are slowly vacating the city for their summer homes, either at the beach or in the mountains. And as of yesterday, that included Pope Leo. In fact, at the Angelus, he did recite the Angelus with the faithful in St. Peter's Square. And at the Angelus, he announced that he would be taking a brief vacation, 2 weeks, at the summer papal residence of Castel Gandolfo. Now, back to the Angelus just for a minute, because at a certain moment, actually speaking English, Pope Leo offered sincere condolences to all the families who have lost loved ones, in particular those who lost their daughters who were at summer camp in the disaster caused by the flooding of the Guadalupe River in Texas in the United States. We pray for them. In fact, as I speak, over 80 people have died, including children, when waters from a river rose 30 feet in just 45 minutes. This all happened at dawn on Friday. But as I said, at the Angelus, the Holy Father did mention he'd be going for a brief period of rest. And he said he hopes everybody can take a vacation, something that restores your body and your spirit. Now, Popes John Paul II and Benedict XVI absolutely delighted in spending as much time as possible at Castel Gandolfo. But for unknown reasons, really, Pope Francis, he forewent vacations at any time of the year, and he never even spent a night in this peaceful, beautiful town. Now, Casa Gandolfo is one of a number of very small towns built on sprawling hills that overlook and are adjacent to Lake Albano. It's about a 40 or so minute drive southeast of Rome. And Lake Albano is an extinct volcanic crater. It's fed by underground sources and drained artificially, but it's said to have been built in 398 BC. So I've been extremely blessed over the years to have spent a lot of time in the Apostolic Palace and on the grounds at Casa Gandolfo, but that's another story another day. So Pope Leo did arrive Sunday afternoon at Casa Gandolfo to a very warm, wonderful welcome by the townspeople, so enthusiastic to see a pope back in their town. And he circulated among the people, he blessed children and babies, shook hands, etc. Now, I think most of you know that as Cardinal Robert Prevost, he wanted to stay in shape, and he went to a gym when he worked at the Roman Curia, the now Holy Father. He went to a gym twice a week in Rome. But of course, that stopped after his election. However, folks, he's going to be blessed at Casa Gandolfo because there is a swimming pool and a tennis court. So he'll be able to stay in shape on his two-week summer break. But the main question now is, who is going to be his partner when he plays tennis? So on that note, back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for another good report there in Rome. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have Terry Rumor, the new chapter development officer for Fraternus, on the show to speak with us about how Fraternus is building Catholic identity, brotherhood, and virtue in men, how desperately we need this in our homes, in our families, in the church, and in the world. So, paraphrasing Fulton Sheen, go to Eucharistic adoration, maybe even make a holy hour. God will so impress his face upon you that it will be said of you as you travel about what the maid said about Peter. You've been with Jesus Christ. Mm. Can see it on your face. You've been with Jesus Christ. God bless you and all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and with Joy. Bye now.